Okay, hi. My name is Jasmine Brown. Most of you do know me, but for those who don't, I want to preface this with some background information about myself. I am going to read directly from my notes, just so you know. So, So there is some background information that you should know about me. 2.5 years ago, my husband Ben and I lost our almost 3-year-old daughter, Geneva, to what doctors guess was an asthma attack, but don't really know. Last year, my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and given a prognosis of 3 to 5 years. So truly, the last few years have and continue to be a struggle for us. And Krista had asked me to share about how I had seen God be faithful to us in suffering. So when she first asked me to do this, I hesitated because I know that there have been numerous times over the last year particularly that I have lost control and denied the things that I am about to endorse to you. However, I keep coming back to a place of confidence in the Lord, and I believe that that is the true miracle. It is truth that will encourage you, and that includes the truth about my own sin. So I will share with you that without God's grace, I would not see the fruit of faithfulness in my own life. And without God's grace, I would not have mercy for the many times of unfaithfulness and doubt. But because of God's grace, in the midst of all of this, I have learned some truths that have encouraged me and to remain faithful to God in the midst of suffering. And I hope that they also encourage you to do the same. The first scriptural truth that has compelled me to remain faithful in suffering is that the gospel alone offers hope for my future. The Bible tells us that we are living in the middle of the story, and that the end of story is redemption. God ultimately will redeem all the effects of sin and sin itself, and he will make it all the way better. When my daughter died, it struck me that things were so broken, I couldn't even imagine what could make it better. And even now, I don't have a clear picture of what that would be. But I do know something about the character of God. And I know that his plans, once fulfilled, are always greater and better than human plans and hopes. I believe that God's plan for my family, when I understand it, will cause me to praise him. When I choose to believe Scripture's promises to those who endure hardship and suffer faithfully, I know that this brokenness will be made right. The famous passage in Revelation 21 that shows what the new earth will be like has been an incredible encouragement to me, so I'm going to read a part of it. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" So this passage reminds me that I need God's grace, but also that as a recipient of God's grace, I will one day see the redemption of all of this brokenness. The second truth that has encouraged me is that obedience to God in suffering is worth the cost. It is hard to obey when we are suffering, and it is costly. But the Bible teaches us that faithful obedience to God in suffering is valuable to God and to us. Specifically, the scripture tells us that our present suffering is connected to future glory. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And again, Paul talks about this in Romans 8:18, and he says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. My suffering, unlike Paul's, has not fallen into the category of religious persecution, but the connection of faithful suffering and future glory remains. My daily submission to Christ, as evidenced by small acts of obedience and faith, is not thrown into a black hole, but is an investment that will produce a great return. I think the parable of the talents is a helpful reminder of this. Here, three servants are given something to invest. It seems that I have been given a mixed bag. I have been given many blessings that I can invest, but also suffering. And God can produce goodness and glory out of both. I don't want to waste my suffering. I want to invest it and trust the Lord with it, that he will use it and bring something far greater out of it for his glory and truly for my good. But what about when I want to endure, but I just feel like I can't? God's word also provides hope for the daily strength needed for obedience. One of my favorite passages is Isaiah 40, which says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I love that this passage says that God increases and renews our strength, because it acknowledges that I will need help. I will be in distress, and my strength will need renewing. And so, this feeling of fatigue should not bring me to the conclusion that God has left me or doesn't care or see me. Scripture tells me that I can wait in confidence that the Lord will not let me faint, but will provide what I need. This is an area where I consistently sin. I have angrily challenged the goodness and care of God when I felt that God had asked too much of me. Still, the Lord has been merciful to me in my sin and brings me back to this truth. But my hope and prayer is that he will help me sin less in this area. Fourth, Scripture provides hope for the incompetent. Personally, I often fear that I will be responsible for a tragedy in my family because of my own poor judgment or lack of practical wisdom or knowledge. In other words, I often strive as if it was my job to prevent tragedy. But this is taking on a responsibility that is not mine to bear. At times like this, it helps me to remember what I am responsible for. What God requires of me is trusting in him and who he is, and that he will always do what he promises. I want to remember that God will give me whatever I need to honor him, and he will carry out his good plan, and I can rest in him, knowing that he knows all and never makes a mistake. Finally, I'm learning in a profound way that God cares for me, a broken, downcast spirit fighting despair and wanting to trust in him. And he hears me when I pray, and he has not forgotten me. So recently, I was really struggling because I had been praying for God's help for a while, and I didn't think that he was willing to help me. I couldn't see any evidence of it. I finally got to a point where I cried and I prayed, "God, can't you see that I need help? I keep praying and asking you to help me, but I hear nothing." I wasn't angry, but I was desperate. A few minutes later, I remembered that I hadn't done my Bible reading for the day, and I opened my phone to read that day's passage. I thought I was supposed to be in Hosea, actually, but I was actually in Psalm 22. And I was really stunned because the opening words of Psalm 22 are, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry to you by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. In you they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. And then further down it says, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. So I want to encourage you to praise the Lord. He is a God who does not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. But here's when we cry to him. He's the only one who can offer hope in the midst of suffering, and he has promised to redeem it all.